Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact live post show for January 23rd, 2025. The show was live, and so are we. I'm at Joel Pearl, or at thejoelpearl.com over on Blue Sky. It's where you find me most of the time. And with me, as always, the wonderful, magnificent, lovely Cresta Starr. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic. I'm sports entertained, and I'm excited to talk about TNA Live. We're live, pal.
We are live, and y'all are with us. Come and join us. If you haven't already, slap a retweet, a reski, whatever you're doing. Tell your friends that we are live and we're doing the thing. This is the place where you can talk about TNA every single Thursday night. We're here. If there's a TNA Plus show that we deem appropriate, we cover that as well. And of course, the pay-per-views were live. Myself, Cresta, and Steven Jensen joined us over on YouTube.com/Fightful this past Sunday after TNA Genesis. You can go find that. And of course, like I said, Thursdays, we're here live talking Impact. They might not be live every week, but we sure as hell are. So go ahead and leave a thumbs up on the video. If you're listening in audio after the fact, maybe you're on your ride to school or doing the groceries, or you're just out taking a nice gingerly walk or a skate on the canal, whatever you're doing, leave a 5-star review on your favorite platform of choice. And of course, you can donate a super chat if you're live any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. I believe we take super thanks over on the YouTube, which allows you to donate to thank us or ask a question after the fact that we pick up in the comments and gets filtered into the next episodes. Or you can donate a Humper Chat. You want to tell them what the deal is?
I would sure love to. If you want to get your voice or your opinion or even your question answered here live, and super chats is just not your thing, you can head on over to humperchats.com. Yes, humperchats.com, where you can put your dollar amount and your comment. We get to keep a little bit more of the dollar amount, and Sean Rossap pays us enough to keep food in our bellies in these trying times. Yes, that's humperchats.com.
Ding.
Ding.
All right, and of course, FightfulSelect.com, the best five, soon to be $6 in the business. Plenty of information, plenty of news, plenty of good stuff coming your way. Let's dig into the show. Overall thoughts, what do you think of the TNA Live episode, their first foray into live in, they said, 8 years over and over again, in case you didn't hear it?
I laughed. I cried. I was sports entertained. I was sports confused. I was sports disgusted, and I truly... In this episode tonight, understand, this was a very TNA. This was peak TNA. Six-sided beer money TNA. This was good. This was, I laugh. I was very sports entertained for all of the reasons you think. Joel, what did you think about this?
I think that, like I said, a lot of strong stuff tonight. A lot of stuff that I was like, I probably could have done something different. But you know what? Overall, they had a really good outline for what they wanted to accomplish. And I think they got a really good crowd to do it with. San Antonio was with it. Yeah. They were all big fans of it. They moved some storylines forward. They introduced some new ones. One thing that I have to say is commentary did a fantastic job of re-explaining to newer fans who someone is or what their importance is to the story. They did a really good job of just kind of resetting for those people who were watching Impact Live for maybe the first time in years or the first time ever. That goes a long way when you're trying to get new fans invested in your product. So I really had to put that over. It was good stuff.
I totally agree. From the way that they explained and introduced people, and I thought that the use of the NXT crossovers when they did was very smart. I am such a huge fan of TNA. And I know people joke and say that the cockroach of wrestling, you can't get rid of. I want nothing but the best of them. And if this leads to more eyes on them, more TV deals, I'm I'm very happy. Like you said, a lot of statements were said tonight, clear, concise, that we are not going anywhere. We're a wrestling promotion here to stay. And if you watch us, you'll have amazing matches, some yuck yucks, and some, this is amazing. I'm so happy for TNA overall.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting some live notes from some friends who are at the show. Yeah, just trying to keep up with that. And meanwhile, I'm trying to explain to them that this is the match that they're telling me is happening is something that's already been promoted. So they're taping the EY and Josh Alexander versus Sinner and Sane match. So that was, they're just like, it's happening now. I'm just like, well, yeah, I knew that.
You guys are a hot crowd. They're going to get this now. So next week they can chill.
I mean, it's good that they're doing it. They got to get it out of the way while they have the hot crowd. And you know what? Like I said, they were all for it. Show opens up with Joe Hendry, grabs his title belt, comes down to the ring and says he'll put this title on the line against anyone from anywhere. And out comes Santino. And he announces Joe Hendry defends tonight in the main event against the returning Matt Cardona. Crescent Star, this was the best trade GCW could have possibly made. PCO goes to GCW. Matt Cardona comes back to TNA. Believe me, they even got the options out of it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But what was your reaction when you saw Matt Cardona's music play and him come out on the stage for this announcement?
I'm a huge Matt Cardona fan. And one thing about Matt Cardona is he's going to get a check. Like, there are two people in the wrestling business that are literally always ready. One is Jeff Jarrett. Two is Matt Cardona. He is going to go and get his. And he's always ready. This was fantastic. I think when it comes to Joe Hendry, one of the main critiques we had was, can he take wrestling to that next level beyond the hee-hee-ha-ha, this type of guy? So I do think someone like Matt Cardona, who will meet him at the hee-hee-ha-ha, but will also, like we will talk about in the main event, will really give him the beats, was a fantastic choice. I love Matt Cardona.
Shout out to our friend Hayan. She's on the tapings tonight. Just saw that. So looking forward to seeing her next week. She rules. She's Texas local. So of course she would be on there. She's got a good opponent. We'll talk about her in a little bit. But yeah, this was good stuff. I was happy to see Matt Cardona back. Jeremy and I had spoken on In the Weeds about what's next for Matt Cardona, because it felt like the GCW Hammerstein show was Cardona's last one for GCW, at least for the time being. And if Cardona is looking to, I don't know, maybe make a Royal Rumble appearance, then this is the best opportunity to open that door. Not that he needed it. I'm sure he's on very good terms with WWE at this point, but he keeps hinting at it. And this is a pretty good way to kind of start or get that involvement in with TNA. And of course, he's been with TNA on and off for the last little while. It makes sense to have him show up. Do you want to talk about the main event now, or should we just kind of tease him and move on for now?
Let's do it, TNA. Then we're going to tease him and move on. You have to watch the whole episode.
My goodness. You're evil. I appreciate it. They showed the Josh Alexander digital exclusive from Genesis. EY kind of walks in. Eric Young walks in and says, why are you quitting? And then Josh just kind of walks off. And they come back to present day. Macklin is saying, hey, why do you even care about Josh Alexander? Eric Young, like, what would you care? Eric Young says Josh is worth saving. Macklin's having none of it. And he mentions, you know, I brought you out, so I'm going to do it to Josh too. And Eric says he's going to, you know, pull him out of that hard place that he's found himself into. So it's kind of a redemption storyline. And Macklin is reluctant through the whole thing. Josh walks in. He says, thank you for your time. Goes to shake everyone's hand. Eric shakes his hand. Macklin does not shake his hand. This all comes to later on. I'm going to go to this now. Josh Alexander comes to the ring. He has this contractually obligated speaking to the audience.
That was so funny that they put that on the card. Commentary put that. He's contractually obligated. I'm only here so I don't get fined. Marshawn Lynch.
Which is hilarious if you remember when TNA picked up his option. The way that they had initially worded it was so awkward and so not good that they had to take it down and then basically reword it in a way that didn't feel so dirty. This was one of those moments where it was like, you just couldn't find a better way to put this. Just he's contractually obligated to show up. So here he is. He didn't quit, but he kind of quit. Anyway, he says he's the Iron Man. He's unbreakable. He gave everything he had every single time he went into the ring. And then he broke a Genesis. And he says he doesn't like himself. He doesn't like what he's become. He's not proud when he looks in the mirror. He talks about his son and his wife coming to the shows and being the TNA guy. Basically mentioning his time at TNA has been a dream come true. It's time to step away. And then, as expected, we talked about this before, what happens to Sinner and Saint? Because on Sunday, Cresta, I said, I feel like Sinner and Saint are sitting in the back. Josh is saying, I quit. And they're just like, he's doing what?
What about me, pal?
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. They basically said, well, no, you aren't. And they turn on Josh Alexander. Sinner and Saint go to beat up Josh. Eric Young comes out. And this is the funniest shit to me because Eric Young's Canadian. Josh Alexander's Canadian. Sinner, Saint, both guys, they're Canadian. Eli comes out and says, you don't mess with Texas.
That was the funniest thing. Because I'm like, wait, isn't everyone in here Canadian? Listen, if I'm not watching this, I'd assume he's from Texas. He sounds and looks like a Texan man. Well, so maybe.
Eric lives in Nashville.
Listen, I'm just trying. I got nothing. I'm trying to make excuses. Okay, I'm trying to make excuses.
I just love that these two Canadians are challenging two more Canadians. You don't mess with Texas. It's so funny. Next week, they're taping it now, but next week it'll air. Eric Young and Josh Alexander team up to take on Sinner and Saint. People in the chat saying it's a showcase for Sinner and Saint. And yes, it is. And I'm very much looking forward to that because they deserve it. They're ready to break out our Sinner and Saint. So this is the time. I'm looking forward to this match. You too?
Yes. Hold on, I got a cough. I don't want to do it to y'all.
Yeah, that's the stuff. You get that cough out.
It don't pay rent. Let me tell you two things about this segment, right? Josh Alexander found out very quickly being a healing for the faint of heart. They hate you no matter what. I liked what Josh Alexander had to say. He's absolutely right. He talked about this in many promos before, how he wanted to work for TNA. This is his dream come true. And he did carry the company on his back. Mike Santana alludes to this later on when he addresses the crowd that he thanks Josh Alexander for carrying it on his back to get to the point where TNA is back on TV. I completely agree with that. The problem is the crowd, they were very, what have you done for me lately? And it's kind of... on a personal level, it's kind of sad to see y'all booing the shit out of Josh Alexander. I understand why we're doing it, but he's given so much to this company, and now he's trying to do a heartfelt apology. Sinner and Saint turning on him. Yeah, I would do it too, because you led me to a life of crime, and now you're talking about you found Jesus? Oh, nah. This is a gang. You can't leave.
Chad's asking if there's a Canadian version of Texas. There is. It's called Alberta.
It is. I was going to say Ottawa, but that's the only other place. No, I know.
That's where I grew up, and it's definitely not that. No, Ottawa is like a Washington type of town. It's a government town.
Washington State or Washington D.C.?
D.C.
Okay.
D.C. Not a province. The province of Alberta is like the state of Texas.
Yeehaw!
Something like that. Gia Miller, speaking of yeehaw, is because she's from the South and she's got the accent. It's not because she's a yeehaw. Anyway, she's looking for Nick Nemeth. Ryan Nemeth walks out and nobody wants that, but it's hilarious. She says, I'm looking for the guy with the name on the sign. And then Nick comes out and says, I'll address everyone next week. They filmed that earlier tonight. And then Ryan just wants to be the PR guy. I love that Ryan Nemeth is still leaning into my big brother. It's such amazing shit.
He's perfectly annoying. You know that he tried like it's for me. Like, yo, Ryan, get out of here, bro. Low key, I want a Ryan Nemeth versus Nick Nemeth match. I don't want to see his big brother beat up on little brother, and then you got to get even bigger brother to come or mom. And
didn't they do a Ryan Nemeth versus Nick Nemeth match?
I don't know, man.
I'm gonna look this up. I'm pretty sure they do.
I do like their dynamic together where Nick Nemeth is like, bro, I'm just trying to get it together. And Ryan Nemeth's like, shut up. It's our show. I love it. Ryan Nemeth is perfectly annoying. I think that we are in such a day and age in wrestling where some people would see this type of character and be like, damn, I can't do anything with it. And people like him who embrace it, fantastic. This is great. I love it. Even if he never wrestled again, I just heard him complain and be annoying. I give it 2 years before I'm like, all right.
Two things. One, Nick and Ryan Nemeth have never had a one-on-one match according to Cage Match, so it's entirely possible that they've never faced off, at least on a televised match. Secondly, the one thing that I really love is Nick comes out and mentions, you know, they say, I'm looking for the guy on the sign. Ryan has his name on his wrist tape, and he just puts it over Nick Nemeth's name on the stupid placard.
I have a little brother. That is peak little brother energy, bro. Jesus Christ.
It was just, again, when it started, I was like, this is so stupid, brother. But then he leaned into it. You give it 10 seconds, and you realize, oh, my God, it's perfect. Ryan Nemeth. is putting on his Emmy winning performance right now.
Listen, you got my vote, Ryan. At first I was like, ugh, and now I'm like, yes.
Hey, what do they say about every great character in wrestling? It's your real self turned up to 11. If that's what Ryan does, that's what Ryan does. It's great. Speaking of great, the Elegances are back in the tag title picture. They won. They teamed up with Rosemary tonight to take on Masha Slamovich and Spitfire. Masha is the Knockouts World Tag Team Champion, and of course, Spitfire are still the Knockouts Tag Team Champions. When they announced this match, I said, oh, they're just prolonging the inevitable. Iceman is in the ring, the personal concierge, and he stomps on a 10-gallon hat, which is hilarious just to watch him be like, oh, there's only one thing I feel towards this group of people here in Texas, and he's just...
He's such a good ringleader. I love him.
Oh, it's a three-ring circus, and he's just in charge. The Elegant Cowgirls are great. What did you think about Masha Slamovich's ring jacket tonight?
You know, and I think I said this on the Genesis show, and if not, I didn't, I definitely wrote it. Either it's fashion, and I don't understand fashion, or that's the jacket from Grandma's Boy, and you cannot convince me otherwise. You cannot convince. It's fashion. Is it fashion? It's fashion. Yeah, it's fashion. And maybe I need to touch the fashion to change my life. But am I going to tell her that? No, because that woman is terrifying. So it's fashion. But also, me.
You calling her aunt girl? Is this what we're doing?
I'm not. I certainly am not saying that. Maybe it's the Matrix. It's giving Matrix Neo, but it's also giving Grandma's Boy. I'm so sorry.
No. I think you're spot on with that. This match was good. This was funny. They picked up where the tag title match left off. There was a lot of really good tag team style wrestling for a six woman. Masha Slamovich at one point comes in, and I love this spot. She runs Heather by Elegance into Rosemary's arm, and then lariats Rosemary, and then Rosemary DDTs Heather as a result. I like those little setup triple spot moves. Again, the match goes on until Cora Jade appears from NXT. She is giving out the envelope to Masha Slamovich with the X through it, the kill wall photos. And then that distracts everyone enough so that Ash gets the roll-up win, pinning Danny Luna. The Elegant Sisters win. They're going to win those tag titles so fast.
I have to say, this is my second introduction to Cora Jade. And I'm kind of like...
She didn't do the thing tonight. She didn't do the emo...
But even if then, it's kind of giving Harpo, who is this woman? I'm giving it a chance because I don't like new things. I'm an old lady, okay? And all my friends are like, no, you're going to love Cora Jade. She's pretty good. You're going to like her. But given her, you can't do me, and I'm cutting you off right now. That was my only complaint.
I like this, by the way. Dex is saying the Masha's gear could have been a Harlem Heat reference, especially for Sensational Sherry, because she wore the big black jacket like that.
You are right.
Yeah. Oh, man, she did the thing. I missed it. Brendan saying that Cora did the emo cry, which I absolutely loathe, but she did it when she gave Masha the envelope. I need to go back and watch that so I can.
I mean, I'm waiting for it to get good, but right now it's like, girl, don't get beat up, girl, because I think Masha's gonna eat you.
Cora's got a match on next week's episode, so You'll get a good taste of what she can do. Again, Cora Jade is very talented. She's been around this business for quite a few years, considering her age. The one thing that set her back was that she had an ACL injury and then another ACL. Like, she's had injuries that have kept her out of the ring for almost 18 months. As a result,
Jesus Christ,
you haven't had a chance to really see what she can do. But if you watch some of her older stuff, even before she came to WWE, like, she had something going. There's a reason why she's still there. That being said, stop with the emo cry face. I hate it.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's my...
Just hardcore emo cry.
Joel doesn't like the emos. You heard it here first.
I'm fine with the emo. I went to GCW emo fight in New York a few years ago. It's a good time.
There's a joke in there about crying, but far be it for me to make it. I mean, I'm the right one to make it, but...
Just say, we all do enough of it here on this channel.
We're wrestling fans.
Oh my goodness. Let's hit a super chat. Eo says TNA trending number one in sports on X before the main event. Folks are watching. It's undeniable. This was, again, a really strong night for them, both in presentation. They had the fact that they were live for the first time in many, many years. They did a lot of things right. They also got a very hot crowd that was really into it, and they were into this match. The Hardys come out, and they beat JDC and Moose. Traditional Hardy match. JDC and Moose are fantastic wrestlers in their own right. There was just, it was a good traditional tag match, like I said, but the crowd was really into it, especially when the Hardys came out. They were just levels above. No one touches the Hardys. That's why I'm saying your world title match can be Frankie Kazarian versus Mike Santana in UBS Arena, and the Hardys are still going to have a breakout massive match that bring people out there. Hardys beat JDC and Moose. I did notice that commentary is calling him Johnny Dango Curtis more and more, not going on his initials JDC, but otherwise good match. You know, Lish distracts Daniel Spencer because of course the referee Daniel Spencer needs to be distracted, because that's, I see you, Daniel Spencer. You keep getting distracted, and it's just going to lead to your downfall. JDC fights Jeff. Matt makes the save. Jeff hits the Swanton Bomb on Moose for the win. And then post-match, they start teasing the 23, which we'll get to in a second. Let's talk about the match. What'd you think? Because straightforward to me.
It's a really good match. It was exactly what it needed to be. Want to give a shout out to that column top Lish hat on. That was a really nice orange on your skin. I'm a jabroni. I'm a nobody, but I would wear orange again. It looks really nice. It looked really nice on her. It made her look glowy. That's just me. A connoisseur of fashion. Yeah, this was a really good. The only other pop you got louder than this or equally as loud was people singing Joe Hendry. And by the end of the night, they sang the first verse and was tired. So this, the Hardys, baby. I love the Hardys. The Swanton Bomb, the ref distraction. I wrote down Daniel Spencer question mark. And it was indeed Daniel Spencer. So I think that's going to be my new way to, instead of calling it ref distraction, I'm like, you got Daniel Spencer'd.
Damn. He's catching strays from both of us now.
I mean, it's not a stray.
No, it's good. It's good. Don't worry.
But let me say there are few refs in, there are few, very few, not a very few, that's oxymoron, but a small group of refs that have a personality or a thing, like Aubrey. For the ref with one HP, she's got like a steel plate around it. So she could take a bump. Every other ref dies immediately, disintegrates. Daniel Spencer, he's blind. We support all people and we want to make sure that they get work, but he's blind and we know this. I love him boots, but every time there's a spot where it's like the ref is down or the ref didn't see anything, I write Daniel Spencer. Now come on here, you're like, well, Daniel Spencer got bamboozled again. I'm like, well, you know.
I will say this. I need to know who the new referee that they had tonight was, because I will call him Jersey Shore Ref.
What?
During the knockout six woman tag, there's a referee who's got, he's got the line in his hair, he's got the spike.
Who that was.
He's a new guy, or he was at least brought in for this particular set of tapings. Very curious. I didn't do any research, didn't ask around. I just saw him and I said, who's Jersey Shore ref over there?
That's crazy. I do want to follow up with something that Scott George said too, because I was about to say that. Moose getting pinned on TV is a good way to drag out. Well, you know, maybe Moose doesn't need the digital media champ. What if Matt or Jeff were champs? Will it happen? Probably not. But it would be cute, or a way to drag out a storyline, or whenever they do drop the tag titles. It'll be like, well, I did pin Moose, if Moose is still digital media. You know, I'm trying to massage this situation and grasp at fingers. But I do think it was interesting that Moose took the pin and not JDC.
It's also interesting that you've put the digital media championship on Moose.
I'm sorry. I meant to say the X division. I'm sorry. The digital media champion was lost in a tragic sledgehammering accident.
Well, they're back. 23 is out. Sammy Callahan is like, who are you? Show yourself. Part of me was like, are they going to pivot, or are they just going to like do lights up and it's Sammy's 23 and he just laughs and he's got the belt or something? No, they don't. Thankfully, they didn't. They pivoted in the best way possible. Steph DeLander comes out. She's wearing the digital media championship. She says, I got it in the divorce. And I love that they just write off. They got rid of the wedding. They got rid of the title belt. They basically just blew it all off in one fell swoop. All you had to do, sign the divorce papers. And then she says, well, I also brought my new boyfriend. And that's when I said, they didn't bring him in. And then the lights go off. They go on. Mance Warner, old Mance, debuts. The former GCW world champion just dropped that title this past week at Hammerstein. to Avi, great guy. Mance Warner makes his TNA debut. I thought this was really good stuff. And of course, Steph DeLander in real life is connected to Mance Warner. It's no secret. They have a podcast. They talk about their relationship, and it's great. I'm actually very excited to see these two work together in the ring in TNA because the chemistry is there. They both know how to do this. What did you think of Mance? Like, did you know about Mance Warner coming into this? And what did you think of the whole Steph DeLander reveal? I wanted your thoughts because, like, you're a different kind of connected to this.
So this is when I truly understood that TNA is going to TNA. Like, don't get me wrong. If you give me an explanation because something happened on the outside and this is what it is, I'll accept it. I ain't got no choice. But holy shit, I lived. It was kind of like, well, that's what it is. And we got divorced. And what are you going to do about it? Oh, and I got a new boyfriend. Was it Matt Cardona your boyfriend? You was trying to get a...
No. Everyone knows Matt's married. That's known. It's known. Chelsea's out there.
That's different. That's done. That's different. Okay. All right. You know, and at that moment, I said, it's a great way. Like you said, it's a great way to pivot, all things considered. So I hope we can now put to rest that this is a work. Baby, if this is a work, then we all need to clock in 9 to 5. I don't think. This, for what it was, I laughed and I chose to be sports entertained. But this was a very TNA thing to do. I'm not mad at it. I'm just like, teehee. Now, I'm not super familiar with Mance Warner. But if it came from GGW, that means there's going to be blood and I'm upsetty spaghettis.
Fair enough. There was some good stuff in there. For sure. I'm looking forward to what they do. I think Mance would just kind of roll through Sami Callihan and just keep that going.
I don't know what about those two men just scream blood match and I don't like it.
I just don't know who the actual digital media champion is. Is it Steph DeLander or is it Mance Warner? Does Steph just give it to Mance? Because I don't think Steph DeLander can. I don't know what her status is. I don't know if she's cleared or not.
That's the other thing. Because I was like, I thought you, like, speedy recovery, but I thought you were still recovering. Okay, I could understand doing it in a managerial, but if you got, wouldn't you have to that regard? I will say there are some undercard people that you could have just held a tournament for. I don't mind it being on Mance. I don't know the young man, but if he was GCW champion, okay. But I want to give it a chance. I'm sports intrigued. I don't know enough about it. So I'm going to Blues Clues it. I need another clue.
The clue is blue. NXT Championship. Let's just move on. Someone in the chat saying it could be both of them, but we'll find out soon enough what the digital media championship is. Honestly, it's a joke to begin with. So you could just do that. NXT Tag Team Championships are on the line. Fraxium defeats the Rascals. Ariana Grace is on commentary and she is hilarious. Introduces her best friends, Fraxium. It's a fast-paced match, as expected. The highlight of this, honestly, wasn't even a part of the match that was wrestling-based. It was when they're chanting TNA and Ariana Grace says, "They're cheering for me." And commentary just says, "Let's just leave that alone."
She was so... like, there was a ditzy monotone about her. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, while Santino's over the top, she's under the top at this. It's like, this is, I don't know if you guys know, but these are actually my best friends. And when there was an interference, did you know they were going to do that? I don't even know those guys.
They're not my friends. I don't know those guys.
I don't even like them.
So during the match, they get into the super kick party. It's a great match. Really go out of your way to watch it. They do the street sweeper, easy for me to say at this hour, for a great near fall. And then Wesley comes out and he gets the distraction in. And then Tariq Igwe and Tyson Dupont interfere. They're NXT kind of group now. Wesley kind of grabbed those guys. And Ariana's like, they're not my best friends. They're not my best friends. And then the Spanish fly from Axiom, this Phoenix splash from Nathan Frazier. And that's the combo they hit on Trey, get the win. Originally, I was thinking this would just be a triple threat at Vengeance Day for the three tag teams. Or maybe I'm thinking the Rascals will find a third and do a six-man. And that third, judging by what they're promoting for next week, is probably Ace Austin. Rascals and Ace Austin versus Wesley and Tyreek and Tyson. What do you think about that?
Men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
I mean, I know you don't know Tyreek and Tyson, but you know.
I mean, well, I guess what I'm trying to say with all due respect to everyone involved, because I know this young man just had a kid. What about Myron Reed? Like, what? Why don't we just have the rascals beat up this rascal? Because you're acting like a bad, you're the brother who got, who's acting up. You need, I know he just had a baby. So that's why I'm like, okay, maybe he's not ready to come back, but I'm not mad at Ace Austin because somehow I feel like Ace Austin would be in the treehouse too. I somehow feel like he fits in that. I'm not going to lie. This match was really good. I don't know why they did a MacGuffin of Wesley and them, but I understand because you're haters. And sometimes you got to wake up extra early to be a hater and to make sure that the guys that you don't like don't get over, even though I screwed them out of a championship before. And commentary definitely reminded us of that. They're like, hey, this will do this back in NXT. But Wesley came out, was like, nah, I'm being a hater. I'm a hater. I would like to see maybe, but there's three of those guys. So what do? Each team gets a three-way, or is it just like...
I think it's more likely that Tyson and Tariq get one team, Fraxium, and then the Rascals. But because Wesley is involved in this whole thing, I think it's more likely that they're going to do a six-man tag. And they can do it on NXT TV or they can do it at Vengeance Day. That's what I'm saying. Like they have a couple of weeks that they could do both. They could do the triple threat tag team match at Vengeance Day, and they could do a six-man tag and leave Fraxium out of it for 1 week. I don't know what they're expecting, but they're definitely working on something. And if Ace Austin gets a little bit of NXT time, I think that would be very good too.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that you said that because that's something I thought in the back of my mind, that Ace Austin in like an NXT setting, because he's definitely got a WWE presentation with all due respect. I think he'd be fantastic. Like, okay, we'll talk about him at another time. This match was really good. Never seen Axiom or Nathan Frazier, and these two, their chemistry. I think at one point Axiom did like an octopus stretch on Wentz, and then Frazier came, did like the ropes twice, and then kicked the shit out of him. Like, that didn't even look like a worked kick. It looked like he just kicked this man. I for some reason, I thought Nathan Frazier was the guy from Grizzled Young Vets. But he's not. And I was like, wait, really good. That's what I'm trying to say. This team is really good. The kick to the no sell to the pop-up after he killed you. I want to see these guys in a team versus the Rascals, period, because the Rascals are so good. This, their chemistry, that was such a good match. I would love to see it. And as far as the six-way is concerned, I don't know who out of the three for Wesley's group would be the tag team. I would assume Wesley and one other, but wouldn't that guy feel some type of way unless we jump him, you know?
It'd be the two big dudes. It'd be Tyson and Tariq.
Wesley, they don't got no beef with these guys. This is just, you did this, Mimi.
Yeah, but Tyson and Tariq are the tag team, and Wes can just be their manager in this case.
This is your beef, Wes. This is literally your beef, Wes.
This is why I'm saying it's a six-man tag more likely to do Rascals and Ace Austin versus Wesley and Tariq and Tyson.
Make it make sense, Joel.
I just did.
That doesn't work for me, pal.
Oh, well, you got to start watching NXT to get there.
I need Wesley, this is literally your fault. Okay, you know what? Whatever. I will watch NXT on Tuesday. I don't go to karaoke no more. So this Tuesday, I will watch NXT and yell at my screen.
You can also watch it like after hours, whatever, not important. Jaleel's Awesome sent a super chat saying, do you believe John Cena will show up in TNA? In the wrestling business, they say never, but if I put a percentage on it, like 2%, I do not think John Cena will show up in TNA. They've made it very clear that this is an NXT-focused partnership. I think it's more likely that if Joe Hendry gets his wish and continues to call out John Cena, that what you'll see is those two in the ring together at the Royal Rumble, and Joe Hendry gets his big, like, I did it moment.
I will agree with that. I will say, if you're looking for anyone like main roster to show up on TNA, well, the only person who might is AJ Styles. And they've been throwing it in a seance circle for since as long as I've been watching to try to get AJ to come and say hi. So, I mean, they had that cameo that one time. So, if there's anybody, I think there's like a 14% chance you would see AJ Styles in TNA.
I think it's a more likely chance to see him. You see AJ Styles. That being said, I don't know if that's a Slammiversary appearance, or I don't know that nobody knows where Bound for Glory is going to be. If they pick another big venue for Bound for Glory and you need to fill the place up, AJ Styles would probably be a good person to have around. And we don't know if AJ Styles is going to be cleared in the next 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 months. We're still waiting to get any sort of update with his injury, because even that was a freak incident. Like, comes back from injury, gets injured in his first match back. Everyone thought it was a work, or at least many people thought it was a work. They thought it was part of a storyline. Turns out he was actually hurt, and he's just been off TV ever since. And that shit is really tough to deal with. So we'll see what they do.
Oh, I did not know that he was really, I was one of those people like, I thought he was just off TV. Speedy recovery, AJ Styles. Holy crap.
Oh, we all thought that it was part of a story at first, because Sean had mentioned this 100 times. Like, they followed the injury. They didn't cut away. Like, they kept on it. And whatever it was, like, they just changed the presentation of the injury. He was hurt. So he's off TV, and we don't know when he comes back, but obviously wish AJ Styles a speedy recovery. But he would be a big get for TNA if they can bring him in just for one last appearance, one big. Again, I bring up Bound for Glory because you can do the Hall of Fame induction. He could have a match, maybe. I don't know if that's part of it. Have him show up in the Call Your Shot gauntlet. Have him win it. You know, whole nine yards.
Just have, like, even there are three people I think about when it comes to, like, TNA and its super resurgence. AJ Styles is one of them. Samoa Joe, Sting. I want to say Steiner Math, because that promo is rent-free in my head. But even if they just came by, did the pageant parade and walked by, that'd be cute. I'm seeing what someone put in chat where he said, I'm cooked. My yikes. I hope that's not the case. Ugh.
Yeah, it was a weird injury. It was, if you go back and watch it, you'll see, like, it doesn't look harmful. They replay it and it just looks like he planted his foot wrong and then took a move. It was like anyway, Yushigo Roshi type of move. And he just, yeah, it just went the wrong way. And he doesn't look hurt until he is hurt. It sucks, but
yeah. Unfortunately, anyway. That's wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's never the big bombastic moves that take you down. It's often something really simple. Here's a good example. Shotzi, her most recent injury that she just came back from, she jumped from the top of the ring apron to the floor, and that tore her ACL.
Damn, ACL's like, I have to go. What the fuck? Oh, sorry.
It's fine. We're 2 hours into this thing. It's okay. 2 hours into the stream. It's 45 minutes into the, or 35 minutes into the promo. Anyway, Santana comes out and cuts a promo. Hot crowd entrance. Love it. Santana always gets that entrance through the crowd and is always good. The promo's not much. It's literally him just saying, you know, this is my year. I'm going to be TNA World Champion. Told my dad that I'd come and do what I said I would do because he taught me how to do that. And then all of a sudden, Mustafa Ali comes out. He's returned. He's announced that he's signed a new deal with TNA. That information will be available on Fightful Select once we get it as to how long it could be. But we don't know. Nobody knows. The last one was a 6-month deal and he got an extension on it. So it could be the same this time. TNA deals are weird. Nothing really matters as long as you show up for work, unless you're PCO. But anyway, he's launching a world championship campaign as Mustafa Ali, and he does it right in front of Mike Santana, and Santana's like, this motherfucker. I love this. Two guys on opposite ends of the babyface and heel spectrum, the good guy, bad guy spectrum, are absolutely going to meet in the middle at one point and have to fight for number one contendership or just some sort of jockey for position to get a world title shot. I know I said the stuff with Frankie Kazarian, but man, could you imagine if it's Mustafa Ali who beats Joe Hendry, walks into UBS, and it's Mustafa Ali versus Mike Santana for that world title. Maybe a little too quick to do it, but I'm just thinking about it. And I think that's a pretty interesting way to go.
Not mad at that. I see it two ways too. You could use Ali to prolong Santana before he gets to the championship, right? Right. Ali coming back at that moment, I was like, TNA, you wrote this just for me, huh? I was sports entertained. Also, I think there's something to be said about a guy, a politician guy coming in, stepping on a little guy who had to work his way up this time to just smile and ignore him and then leave. Oh, Santana's going to kill you. I can't wait. The match between these two, fight forever. I can't wait. I cannot wait. This match between these two is going to be superb, fantastic, sports entertainment, wrestling.
I'm really, really looking forward to Ali's return. He's got his first match back on next episode. I'm curious as to how they play this out. Again, the vision is Slammiversary is Santana's time. You can't have Mustafa Ali lose again at Slammiversary because that would just be strange. So I'm curious as to how this all plays out. Ayo saying, I think a Hendry Mustafa Ali campaign feud, or sorry, Mustafa campaign feud would be interesting. Hashtag we believe in Joe Hendry versus hashtag in Ali we trust. There is a digital media component there. And yeah, like Ayo's also mentioning, like Ali didn't even acknowledge Santana.
Such a teabag.
And that's why the two of them are eventually going to have to deal with it. They're going to have to come to blows. I'm really curious as to how they play this out because they will eventually meet up, have a match. And the winner, I assume, would get the world title match next.
I'm thinking like Ali could just be, if I'm fantasy booking this, Ali is doing this because I don't respect Santana. You're a little guy. Thank you for clearing the way for me. You're a politician. Oh, you want me to acknowledge you? Here's a pittance. Goodbye. Thank you. I'm not fighting this guy. He's crazy. I said, what did Josh Alexander? That guy's crazy. He didn't even want to fight Jake something. Oh, his hammer. So he didn't like this. It's not about weight limits. It's about no limits, but there should be weight limits. Okay. Ali don't want to fight this guy. So he's going to ignore him. And then when it gets too tough, Santino, this man is unsafe. This is the type of people you have working here. I've seen this before and I'm already ready. I am ready. Cause I think it's going to get to a point where Santana's like, you're not going to keep interrupting me. And if you think you are, I'm going to take your shoes.
At one point, the Ali campaign has to say, if I win, I'm going to bring Impact back to greatness. I'm going to get us a deal with Fox Sports. I'm going to bring back the six-sided ring. We're going to bring Dixie back. Like he needs to lean into the nostalgia because if this is in Ali we trust and we're doing this, when he came back tonight, I was like, what story can you tell? Because we talked about the parallels of his last time, you know, how far can he take this campaign as champion? Now it's going to change even further because what's going, you know, look at the political landscape in the US and what's he going to do to mirror that in 2025 in TNA? I think that's something he needs to do, is just talk about all the old good things that TNA did, or the bad things that he thinks TNA did great. They're like, we're going to bring back Bischoff.
Like, bring in Jeff Jarrett for the memes. Bring it, like, JBL just randomly showed up tonight, so you can bring in Jeff.
He's just going to start bringing in, like, I got the aces and eights here, but it's like...
Oh, bringing Bully Ray would be such a heel move. Oh, that sports entertained me on Joel, you pops me. I love chaos. I love chaos. So that'd be chaotic. Oh, that's great. That's great. Somebody said EC3, and I was like, that's gonna be the next words I'm like, what do we just bring EC3? Let's do it. Main event mafia. Doesn't matter.
The only reason I want EC3 to show up once is just so I can hear trouble.
I don't even get that reference. I've been to wee wrestling babies.
His theme music was just awful.
R.I.P.
Yeah, someone in the chat's mentioning Ali with Dixie Carter. That's what I'm saying. He brings out Dixie Carter and just wreaks havoc on TNA. I'm gonna make TNA great again. I don't want to do that. I'm not gonna. Whatever. We're not gonna keep going. Because the irony here is that next up is the Tessa promo. Who cares?
You know what? I think there's a perfect quote from wrestling. You may know this wrestler. Her name is one Brelandra Rhodes. She, on one episode of Dynamite, said, who said it was open mic night, bitch?
Well, her dad's there. Tully's there. And that was great. She basically talks about the history. And that's it. Crowd just boos and boos vociferously. And in my eyes, there's two ways you can see this. One is, oh my God, she's getting so much heat. Oh my God, that's great. And people really hate her. That's what they're supposed to do. She's getting a reaction. And the other way is, kind of feels like go away heat. And that's not the heat you want. People just, like, I was too busy listening to people boo her than I was at all interested to hear her talk. Like, so, like, AO in the chat saying good promo. He's like, sure, she hit her points. She talked about the history of her family in San Antonio, Texas. Whoop-de-doo. She did the reset promo that everyone does. Sure. That was not Tully's TNA debut. I was there in the crowd at Rebellion when Tessa took on Gail Kim and won. And Tully was about three rows ahead of me. So he's been around. It's just one of those things. I don't really have much to add about Tessa.
I will say this, because I have no notes as well. She definitely has go-away heat with the crowd, with most of the fans. And I will say, if you are doing it to get eyes on the product, giving her a live mic is never going to work. It's never going to work. If you're going to force her down our throat, she needs to wrestle and do backstage promos only. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. At one point, in Espanol, they were calling her, you know, not nice words. And that's her fault. I'm not gonna stick up for somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I just questioned the thought of why you thought this was a good idea to give her a live mic. If you're gonna do it backstage, do it backstage. If you're gonna do it. But if a live mic, that's gonna happen every time. No matter where you go, that's gonna happen every time. Because beyond, this is just my personal opinion. Take this what you want. Beyond you being a racist, baby, you didn't want to drop the title. So people are going to boo you no matter what.
Once again, it's not a work. And I can tell you, Jeremy and I have talked about this on our show on In the Weeds. Media-wise, they won't let you ask the questions about it. They do not want you asking. They say, if you ask, interview's over. So no, it's not a work. They're not allowing anyone to ask the questions about Tessa's past, about the way people have commented, the things people have said about her past conduct. This could be a very easy, easy thing for her to go on an apology tour. I don't care how honest it is. I don't care how sincere it comes off. Something needs to be said. Coach her up as much as you want. Make it as prepared and as, I don't care. You cannot expect people to just let it go.
Yeah.
Accountability matters. Accountability matters. And at the end of the day, you can say, we did it. We tried. And then you just go from there. Some people will be willing to accept whatever she says as good enough, and others will make do and deal with it as it is. But you can't go on ignoring it, and you can't go on telling people you can't ask about it, because it does not work that way. She shouldn't be starved out. We talked about this on the post show at Genesis, and Sean said it. We all agreed. She doesn't deserve to be starved out. She should be allowed to work. That's fine. No one should be saying that she shouldn't be able to get a job, but they cannot go on ignoring the reality of what happened 6 years ago and all of the nothingness that has come from there.
It'll bleed over. In this situation, your personal will bleed over into your professional. And this isn't heel heat. This is go away heat. This is I don't want to see this shit heat. The promos aren't bad. Her wrestling's never been a problem. But you've got to do something. Like, I can't even look at this objectively. Like, you got to do something. You got to apologize. You got to do something.
This is easy. I was young. I was stupid. I said things that I knew I do not believe, and I do not respect myself for having said. I messed up. I'm sorry. I am not that person anymore. I don't care how you say it. I don't care where you say it. You can do it on your dad's podcast. I don't care. You need to address it, because if you don't, then this continues. And this pushback from us and from other people who review shows, who do media interviews, we will continue to ask. She lives a public life. These allegations against her have been made publicly, and she continues to ignore every single time. You are a public figure. You've been brought into this business again with every issue that you have. Again, stop with the it's a work. It's not a work. There have been people who have been continuously outspoken from other places that have nothing to do with Tessa. She does not acknowledge it. That is the problem. There is no accountability, and there has been no attempt at accountability on a public square.
I'll even go ahead and say that if the disrespect is in public, the apology needs to be in public. And the apology also needs to be in private. Beyond the I think that some people get very, well, she said something racist, and that's this. It's not just that. It's the allegations of bullying. It's the allegations of racism. You're not apologizing for it. You won't let people try to help you clear it up. Like Joel said, even if you said, I was stupid. Y'all, I do too much wrestling. I'm stupid. People can at least give you the benefit of the doubt. But if you don't want to own up to it, then this is what's going to happen. I personally won't ever feel bad for someone who won't admit that they were wrong and won't apologize for it. I can't. I'm impossible. I can own up when I'm wrong. We say dumb and stupid things. Like, come on now. But to not, I think it'll always negate how good you are. And this goes from anybody. Because, like, Hogan, quote unquote, was the greatest. And we boo this man relentlessly. At some point, you gotta try. You gotta say sorry.
And for the person saying Jordynne Grace didn't have a problem with her, working with her, no, she did. She pushed back. Again, initially she didn't, but Jordynne Grace is a professional. And the way she pushed back was, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not doing any in-the-ring promos with her. And they didn't. If you look at the whole buildup, there was no mic time between the two of them. It was completely separate except for the little beatdowns that they did along the way.
Like I said, if you want to go forward amicably and you want to try to... We're going to see her. This is what it is. You can't give her a live mic. That's just what it is. She's going to have to do backstage promos only, because they're going to boo her wherever she goes.
Just got to address it. And I don't care how you put up with it. I don't care how you explain it. Just got to address it. Because shit like this is why people just are not interested in watching TNA to a certain degree.
I just muted this. There's a few wrestlers who, when they get on the mic, I mute, and this was one of them. And it's unfortunate. Anyway, let's get on to this main event. I'm tired. I am tired of this woman.
Tell me about it. TNA World Championship, Joe Hendry defends against Matt Cardona. Boy, was this another convoluted mess. Frankie Kazarian's on commentary. I think it's hilarious that they keep having former WWE guys to work Joe Hendry. They do a ref bump because Daniel Spencer is always in the way. Pop a power bomb. There's no referee there. Cardona low blows Hendry. This is my favorite part, Cresta. Cardona grabs the world title. JBL appears because of course he does. Hits the clothesline and leaves. Does a stare down with Joe Hendry. And what does Cardona do? Still uses the damn belt.
Let me tell you something, brother. JBL, I kind of miss the days of you drinking beer behind the door and the people couldn't go around the door because what are you doing here? Also, Daniel Spencer. Shout out to Daniel Spencer.
Stop it. Don't shout him out. What are you doing?
Listen, he got half an HP. Most refs have one HP. He got 0.5. You look at him too much, he's like, ah, that's it. I'm on the floor. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Just folds like a Thanksgiving turkey.
I mean, same. Say if a wrestler said, Cresta, I want to wrestle you right now, and they pointed at me, call me Kevin Nash. I'm taking the...
Diving. Taking a dive.
I'm taking a dive. This match was fantastic. Like you said, it was convoluted. I thought Frankie Kazarian was going to jump in. It was a good showcase, I think, for Joe Hendry's first defense. Because Matt Cardona let Joe Hendry's meat on his chest. Hamburger help us. Aha! He was giving him the chops. And I want to know what Matt Cardona's secret is to having a full beard with no gaps everywhere. Because holy crap, his beard looks photoshopped on. It's so good.
They kind of look like they could be brothers. Cardona and Hendry. But the hair, the beard. They look like they could be related. I'm just saying.
I had to really think in my brain. I have seen Joe Hendry with no beard before. And I have seen Zack Ryder with no beard before. So I had to really, maybe cousins.
Yeah, cousins. That's the one. It's fine. This was fine. Joe Hendry gets the win. He gets the standing ovation. The crowd goes home. Well, doesn't go home. Crowd finishes the show happy. And of course, Hendry on day one as champion gets a good spot with Matt Cardona. Cardona knows how to do this job. He's great. The match was fine. It was overbooked. It was very TNA, WWE main event style. And that's just what they're leaning into right now.
I did love the Phantom of the Indies opera mask that he had going in there. Have you ever played Undertale, Joel?
No, but I am aware of its existence.
Okay, so you know Sans and his brother, the one with the really round head, half of that mask looked like it was part of the brother's round head just with Matt Cardona on it. You can't, it's Sans and I can't think of what the other brother's name.
Amazing. Well, I don't know it either, but I'm gonna let the chat take care of that.
You guys know who I'm talking about. If you played Undertale, Sans is the skinny one, the little brother. Okay, anywho, this was a good match. I love Joe Hendry. Many more to Joe Hendry. I just fear for when Joe Hendry has to wrestle a Jake something who's just full of piss and vinegar.
Oh, so much piss. We got one more super chat from Dex Baker saying the AWWWE tribalism is toxic, but when those fans and talent on both sides are uniting to call you out, girl, apologize. Hey, that's exactly it. That's it. They're live from Full Sail next month, February 20th. That'll be a fun show. We're here every single Thursday talking about this show until it goes so far off the rails that we both say, forget it. We're done here. But for now, TNA, you survived another week on our show. We'll still talk about you next week. Cresta, let's start what you got going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I love you in a parasocial sort of relationship way. That'd be cool if you parasocially followed me over on all forms of social media. Cresta Star, except for X, where it is Cresta the Star. I don't really post on there because you can find me on Blue Sky as well, Cresta Star. Every Wednesday, I am live over on Twitch. We watch AEW together. We talk wrestling. We play video games. And I talk to you. Every Thursday, I am here with the beautiful, illustrious, full beard and the dad you never had, Joel Pearl.
God damn, never had?
Nah, you're so nice. My dad's a dick. Yeah. I love him, but he's a dick. I mean, every Thursday talking about TNA, giving you unbiased, bias. We're just giving you opinions. And every Saturday, you can get more of my opinions with Iridian and Rick. And we go over all things Collision, like how we really use his haircuts, giving emo brother. And we're sick of him, too, except Iridian. That's her guy. I think I've said too much. Cresta Star, all for social media. I love you. I appreciate you. Hope you find $20 on the floor. That's not illegal. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
You know that dog from Looney Tunes, the one with the shag down to his eyes, and then he does this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Willie Yuta looks like now.
Really, Yuta looks like, how could this happen to me? I'm so sick of him. I'm sick of him right now.
Cora Jade's brother is what you're saying.
I made my mistake.
Use that one tomorrow on In the Weeds. Jeremy Lambert and I are live 10 a.m. Eastern every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbook. That's our sister channel. Go subscribe to that channel right now if you haven't already. And of course, leave a thumbs up on this video and subscribe to this channel. Crest and I are here every Thursday after this show, TNA Impact. But of course, I'm all over the place. Blue Sky at thejewelpearl.com. I don't really use Twitter anymore because, well, you know why. And of course, you can find me on everywhere else on Fightful. So just do that. Okay. I'm done. We're done. I'm good. You're good. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.